This is just bizarre. And this is the news, according to me. Happy New Year to all of you out there in La La Land. It's 9:15 a.m., the first Monday of 2003, the second day, the first show, January 2nd, Monday, 2023. And here we are. We made it to 2023. Let's see what wonderful things we have in store this year as the year begins to unfold and unravel. I mean, unfold and reveal itself. Unravel. Yeah. We'll see what happens. It should be an interesting year. Of course, the primaries are going to start ramping up here by spring. And in the election season, the primary, you know, the general campaigns will start in the fall into next year. And of course, there will be I predict there will be weather events that will be blamed on global warming. I predict there will be earthquakes blamed on global warming. I predict there will be fuel shortages and fuel prices spiking blamed on global warming. And I believe there will be a lot of unrest and riots in streets that will be blamed on global warming. And of course, COVID. That's going to be around for another couple years yet, at least until the end of next election season. It's just bizarre. Folks, there's a thing, we got to talk about this. Because it's what's in my cup. It's just bizarre. But I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to keep teasing you. I'll tell you in a couple minutes. I was having a conversation with one of my five listeners. People that I know, actually know that listen to the show. And he said he just listens to what's in my cup and then he fast forwards to the end. So that's what he does. I said, well, then I'm not going to tell you what's in my cup till the end. And of course, then all he would do is fast forward to the end and he'd get the cup and he'd just, I don't know how to, other than just teasing, you know, I can just like weave this thing throughout the whole show about what's in my cup. I'm going to tell you what's in my cup here. And it wouldn't be unlike me to just dive off into another story. He also informed me that I was telling a really interesting story a while back, about a month ago or a couple weeks ago. And I never finished the story, which... It's hard for me to believe that I did that. But this is the show where I tell you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an epidemiologist. I can't even spell epidemiology. I can barely pronounce it. I'm not a... what else is it I'm not? Oh, there's a whole long list of stuff. I'm not a financial counselor or a CPA. I'm not even a life coach. I can be a cheerleader if you want me to do that for you. Go, rah, rah, ree. Rah, rah, rah. Go, go, go. There you go. I can do that. Not much more than that I can do. So I'm a guy with a microphone. They just let anybody buy a microphone and get on the internet these days. And you can have, you know, all these opinions you can have. You just spew them out there. Just splatter them out like so much ceiling texture stuff. That stuff you spray on the ceiling to get texture. Have you ever seen that? That's kind of the way I am. I kind of spray it out there all over the ceiling. What doesn't stick falls down on the ground. Hopefully you got plastic down this morning for listening to this morning's show because it's going everywhere. Well, I'm going to dive right into this whole thing with this Ray Epps thing. To me, it's just been pretty obvious on its face that this guy was a Fed. He was working with the Feds. Now, I have some other theories about this. And, it's obvious there's something going on with this guy. The deposition apparently came out now, that the transcripts of the deposition that he had with the J6 committee. They had to do this token, and it's obviously rehearsed. Adam Kinzinger is a really strange individual. He's really weird. Who brings their newborn baby into a deposition? He's got this really bizarre. It's not narcissism necessarily. I think what it is he's so engrossed with himself. Everything about this J6 thing is about him. And it's weird because it's like he's trying to, it's a constant commercial for Adam Kinzinger. Every time he's about to ask a question, he has to talk about himself. And then he launches into the question. And when he gets an answer, it's like he didn't even hear the answer. Because the answer made no sense. It had nothing to do. He'll ask these questions of, and then the person gives this answer and he just moves on to the next thing. No cross-examination, no questioning, no querying into that. And once in a while, he'll go back to something just to clarify, make sure he's clarifying it. And then what's weird is this, Ray Epps' lawyer jumps in and says, I think he meant to say this. Oh, yeah, I meant to say that. I was doing that. Now, I'm gonna kind of lay out the whole premise that they're trying to portray here. Now, keep in mind, this guy did go inside the Capitol building. He says he went inside. Then he kind of recants on that, backpedals a little bit, says, well, I guess I wasn't actually inside. I was just outside. I guess I consider the, you know, underneath the awning to be inside. But I went inside and there was tear gas and chaos. Well, I have not seen video, anything inside the Capitol building that would imply, that it would infer, that would say that there was tear gas inside the rotunda. That didn't happen. There's just so many things in his story that don't add up. And then they got text messages from him that say certain things, and he backs up and he's got this whole other narrative that he's pushing. And Adam Kinzinger makes this guy out to be almost a Capitol Police hero. It's just a bizarre story. And they swallow it. It's this whole thing, if you can't see it for what it is, this whole thing was a rehearsed theater. My guess is that Ray Epps and his lawyer knew all the questions that were going to be fielded to him ahead of time. And then you got Adam Schiff, who jumps in as well. He's late to the meeting. He comes in later and asks some questions that have already been asked. He gives him the same exact answer, almost verbatim. Really bizarre. Just a really bizarre deposition. And what's so bizarre, the most bizarre thing about it, is that other people who said the same things, in fact, didn't do as much as he did, are in prison today. There are people who weren't even there on Capitol Hill that day. They weren't even in Washington, D.C. that day who got arrested for J6. And you've got this guy, the night before, standing in the street yelling, we've got to go into the Capitol. People shouting him down, shouting Fed, Fed, Fed. And somehow Adam Kinzinger saw something totally different there. And this guy weasels out of the whole thing. They just believe everything he says and takes it hook, line, and sinker. And even things he says that don't even match up with the questions they had. They just move on to the next one. Okay, thank you. Oh, so what you're saying is you were trying to be a hero. Yes, I was being the hero. I was there to protect people. Oh, okay, thank you. That's all we needed here. Thank you. We're going to give you a medal now. Now, this guy, if he's not working for the feds, he says flat out he's not working for the feds. But he had no contact with the feds or federal law enforcement or any kind of law enforcement agencies. Okay, then there's only one other person, one other entity that they didn't ask him about. Anyone from Congress talk to you? What are your connections to Nancy Pelosi? Have you ever had contact or direct communication with anyone on this J6 committee? Let's ask that question. Because if you're not a Fed, if you weren't working with the Feds, or if you didn't have some kind of... Now, it's very possible that another informant from the federal Feds, some kind of federal agency... They were specific about agencies, by the way. They said FBI or NSA, or I think they named like three different people, three different entities. There's like 17 of them. Could have been a different one. Or it could have been someone directly through a back channel or whatever, however else they talked to them. It could have been someone from Congress. Now, keep in mind, Nancy Pelosi just happens to have a well-renowned, world-renowned, very well-known documentary specialist following her around on January 6th. It was her daughter. You didn't know she was a film documentary specialist? She's done a lot of very popular, very well-known documentaries. I can't think of any at the moment, but there's plenty of them. You know, just go on Amazon. I'm sure you'll find several of them. You know, all of her documentaries that have been done. I don't even think she has a web. I'm not even sure she has a YouTube channel. I think she was working with Ken Burns, doing documentaries back in the 40s. Nancy Pelosi's daughter. Just happens to be there that day with her cell phone, by the way, recording all this stuff. I think it's not very good recording, not high quality, you know, documentary material. Just getting all this stuff. Just happens to catch Nancy on the phone talking to, asking about Vice President Pence. See how he's, are you doing okay? Are you all right? I kind of secretly hope you're dead, because that way I can be president for a day. This thing was a setup it looked suspicious at first, but then when they started going on the attack here and going after all these people, now it even looks worse. It has raised more questions to me than it's answered. The J6 committee, in my opinion, has just opened up a whole new box of monkeys or worms or whatever they are. I don't know what can of worms. I was in a store the other day looking. Where do you find cans of worms? I'm trying to figure out are they a vegetable, or are they in the canned beef section, or what are they exactly? I didn't find any. Found mushrooms, which is about the closest thing I could find to canned worms. But they kind of live in the same kind of environment. I don't know. It's interesting to me, this whole thing. And I'm gonna lay it all out after I talk about what's in my cup. So we're gonna get right to that just shortly. Talk about what's in my cup here, real quickly. Right after I talk about right after this word from my sponsor. We have a sponsor. Today's sponsor, boys and girls, is crickets. We have no sponsor. Okay. This show is just me and my opinions. It's not someone else paying for them. I don't have to be careful about what I say, because I'm not sponsored by anybody except for Pfizer. Pfizer owns everything. I'm brought to you this morning by my bowl of Wheaties. What's in my cup? And a whole bunch of vitamins I take now. I started taking vitamins. And I've noticed, I'm not like radical, like taking huge quantities of anything. I just kind of a one a day, some vitamin C. I get some E for krill oil, some K2. You know, like a multivitamin type thing. I do take D at night. Which overall, and I think it's more important that you have a small amount of everything. Just have everything kind of in your system, especially the water-soluble stuff. It's not so much that you, because diet, you know, it's, I just got to get all my vitamins through my diet. Well, I travel so much, it's hard to keep a consistent nutritional balance. I try to do that. And I'm not saying I eat healthy all the time. And it's not, the vitamins don't make up for that, but they do hopefully at least provide, you know, my body access to the vitamins it needs at times when it needs them. And rather than not having anything at all for a couple of days. And then I know, I've noticed that I think I got a little bit vitamin C deficiency here a little bit while back. Just because I was just kind of feeling the way I was feeling. And I have to say that the stuff I'm taking now, all the stuff I'm taking, seems to be, I have a much more balanced, you know, vitamin B complex is really important. Some people can't, about half the population, believe it or not, half the people on the planet cannot absorb vitamin B through their normal ingestion process, their normal guttural system. Will not accept it, will not absorb it. So you have to take B12 at least. And B12 has to be taken with a dissolving tablet, basically under your tongue or in your mouth, just keep it in your mouth, dissolves. Little known fact there, a little tidbit for you this morning. Now, I don't know if Ray Epps takes any vitamins or not. They didn't get to that question. I'm surprised they didn't because they were talking about everything else. And then, of course, there were off the record questions afterwards. In this deposition that we're not on the records and we're not on the transcripts. I'm telling you, folks, this is a bizarre situation. And the way the media has jumped in to protect this guy is also suspect to me. Extremely suspect. But first, let me talk about what is in my cup. And I am really going to talk about what's in my cup now. It's a rather dangerous brew. It's about a third sweet tea, and then the rest of it is apple cider. And I have to say, it has a really good taste to it. It has this kind of a mild apple cider taste with kind of a smooth tea, the sweet tea thing there in the background. So the apple cider kind of lingers. You know, it's like the aftertaste that kind of lingers there. But the tea kind of just goes down real nice and smooth. Somebody needs to make that, bottle that stuff. I didn't put any V8 Fusion in it this morning. I should have, probably. It's another thing I try to do to kind of keep some balance, especially in the morning. By the way, that's when you want to take your vitamin B12 in the morning. Vitamin B12 helps to... It doesn't give you energy. It's not something that is energy, like honey or sugar or like starch or it's not that kind of thing. It is what is your body uses that in the process of converting fats and sugars and starches and things that you eat into energy. That's why it has a tendency to balance your energy levels. When you get those early afternoon slumps, you want to take a nap, which isn't a bad thing, by the way. But you just, it kind of gets you through more of a level energy level all day long. Now, I have noticed the krill oil. I have noticed that my joints and stuff don't seem to be, I seem to have a lot less issues with, you know, the occasional knee or elbow pain or shoulder pain, whatever. It's like I don't have that. I don't know. It just seems like it seems like it. I don't know. Of course, that kind of stuff comes and goes. When you're my age, it kind of comes and goes anyway. You never know if it's just that or something else. But wake up in the morning, you've pulled a hamstring. How was I sleeping? Kind of get scared about going to bed at night. Pull something. No, anyway. So, no, I just feel better. So I have a little bit more. I think I have a little bit better balance. When I go to exercise, I feel better about exercising. I can kind of, that whole thing, just kind of feel like my body's able to repair itself a little bit faster, a little bit better. So the whole story with Ray Epps. So this whole thing, it starts off with this thing where he wasn't going to go to the Capitol. His son invited him to go. He was going to go because his son was going to go. Well, he found out that his son was going to go, and his wife found out that their son was going to go. I don't know if it's her son or I assume it's their son. Well, she was all concerned about him, about his safety. So she said, "You need to go with him." I'm concerned about his safety. She feels like it's her fault that, you know, that all this happened because she wanted him to go with him to protect him. This guy's an adult. I think he's in his 20s. And daddy has to go along to take care of their son. I never got that from my parents. Well, of course, maybe they didn't. No, they cared about me a great deal, but they also knew that I was an adult. I could take care of myself. I think they got concerned about me going some places sometimes. I would go to some dangerous places in the world. I think they were a little concerned, but they didn't. I never felt like they were checking up on me all the time or helicoptering in to protect me. And it wasn't because they didn't care. They just, for one, they trusted God with my life, and they also trusted that I wouldn't do anything terribly stupid. I guess some things kind of stupid, but not, you know. If my friends were all jumping off a cliff, well, come to think of it, though, my friends were jumping off a cliff in California, and I actually followed them. I wasn't the first one off the cliff, but I was following right behind them. We were all wearing wetsuits, and it was about a 40-foot drop off the side of this cliff down to some water. Loma, Point Loma, for those of you out in San Diego area, you know where that's at. There's some cliffs out there. We were snorkeling. We were doing some diving. And we got all done, and we're kind of done with everything. And the evening was kind of winding down. The sun was starting to set. It was beautiful out there. Of course, the waves were kind of coming in, and the water kind of comes in and swells up and down. So we tried to catch it so that we would jump in and land when the swell was up. We weren't sure how deep it was because we weren't sure. We thought it looked like it was pretty deep. But, you know, we're going to jump in when the swells are up. That way, you know, that if there is a rock down there, it won't hurt us too bad. So the first guy, he was an ex-Marine. He goes running, ex-Marine, I got it because there's no such thing. But he goes running off the thing, jumps off. Yeah, it's plenty deep. So the rest of us just start filing off the cliff. And we got done. And we had so much fun with it. We climbed back up the rocks again, all following each other. There's like four of us. We get to the top of these rocks, climb back up the cliff, and we go running back over to where the cliff was. And we didn't even hesitate. We just ran right off the cliff again. I'm surprised we didn't land on each other. Because we kind of like, you know, one guy would kind of go off one side, and the next guy would kind of try to go off the next side. And of course, as soon as you hit the water, you try to get out of everybody's way. Because you knew there was more bodies raining down on top of you. That was good times. Good times. But anyway, so no, I didn't do anything stupid out there. That wasn't stupid, I guess. That would fall into the category of insanity, I think is what that was. So Ray Epps gets this thing going on. And he's supposed to go now. The whole premise for him going is to protect his son. So he only decides to go to the Capitol building, like 2 days prior to the event. It's like January 1st or 2nd or something. He's talking about going to the Capitol. And they've always talked about having a vacation and going to the Capitol and seeing all the sights there. So he's going to go the day before. And all they want to do is they just want to go and look around and look at all the stuff. Look at all the history stuff. Supposedly they've got relatives from, I think, the Civil War. Somebody with the last name of Epps. They were trying to find him in the cemetery. And they went over to some other place. It was some kind of museum. I don't know what it was. And that's all they did. Then on the 4th, I think it was on the 4th or the 5th. Might have been the 5th, that morning. And I think they even, I think that was on the 5th, whatever it was. They were doing this kind of stuff. And supposedly that's all they wanted to do. They were just there to, you know, see the historical things, the relics, historical relics, I guess. And this is what his lawyer brought up to him. I want to make sure he said it because he almost forgot to say it. Now, his son had a friend there, I guess, as well, and they were all staying in the same hotel room. Now, during this whole process, Ray gets separated from his son, like as if he just doesn't even... He's so concerned about protecting his son that he's just... You never see his son around him at all. On January 6th, they got separated at the Ellipse. They weren't even together walking down to the Capitol building. Well, I don't know. We got separated and he was here and I was there. We were exchanging seats and blah, 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 blah. And he had this whole excuse for why he wasn't watching over his son protecting him. That's the whole reason he was there. Now, I know that when I go to Washington and I'm getting ready to go there, a lot of times I'll take tourniquets and gauze. That's one of the things that Ray had with him in his military Molly strapped backpack. Molly webbing all over like a vest on. He was dressed like a military soldier, had boots, camo. That's the way, when I go someplace to look at the sights, that's usually the way I dress. I'll put on my camo and my big red hat that looks brand new that I've never worn before in my entire life. Now, and I usually go down and try to direct people to, you know, to follow me. I try to jump into a crowd of people and just become a leader right off the bat. Try to antagonize and lead people to go to the Capitol. We have to go into the Capitol. Well, I thought the Capitol was going to be open. I thought COVID was running rampant at that time, but I thought the Capitol was going to be open. And then when we got there, I realized it wasn't open. Then I realized I needed to stand between these rioters and the cops and tell them what, you know, I had to whisper in their ear certain things. And right after I whispered in their ear, then they ran over and ran down the barricades. And I followed them because I was trying to stay with them so I could help protect them and keep them from doing anything stupid. That's why I was there. He was a hero. None of this stuff makes sense, folks. None of it. You go to the Capitol. You go to Washington, D.C. to see the sights and to listen to the speech. All of a sudden, it became this thing when it was just, well, we're going to go watch the Capitol. My son wants to go to the Capitol. Now, all of a sudden, I'm so passionate about it and so involved. All of a sudden, there's no evidence of this guy ever being passionately concerned about the election or passionately supporting Donald Trump. Nowhere. Didn't have signs in his yard, but all of a sudden he has a hat on his head on the night of January 5th. And he's yelling, we need to go into the Capitol, dressed in military garb. Standing out in the street, yelling at people. Convincing them what they need to do. This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. A lot of the other J6ers that were there that were arrested weren't saying that. They weren't out in the street doing that kind of thing. Leading an insurrection. This guy was a decoy. We all know it. He was trying to find and weed out anybody who was interested in doing it, trying to rally up the, he was a magnet, basically. They were using him to get people rallied around and involved and try to do something that was stupid, and he wasn't going to get himself involved. Now, keep in mind, there's no question. Kash Patel said he was in charge of the whole communication going on between Donald Trump and the Capitol Police and the security and the authorizing of the National Guard. The National Guard was authorized by the White House. There's different estimates of the troop numbers. It's anywhere from 10,000 to 25,000 that were ready to call up. Ready to call them up. And guess what? Nancy Pelosi turned it down. She absolutely turned it down. Nancy Pelosi has a specialist documentary person there following her around on January 6th. How convenient. And then you have Capitol Police who are on video, standing down, walking back. They were holding off the groups in a lot of areas in the White House. And they backed off and let people in. Doors that were electronically locked from the inside were unlocked. There's only one place in the whole Capitol building where people actually broke things to get in. Ray Epps was also a part of Oath Keepers for a while. Again, obviously an infiltrator. Who claims that they were getting involved with Antifa and wanted to work with Antifa. That's when I started backing out. That's when I backed away. Oh, so is Antifa a bad group? I thought Antifa was just an idea, it wasn't an organization. How do you negotiate with an idea? According to Ray. Christopher Ray. Different Ray. All kinds of rays shining around Washington there. Now, the reason I'm kind of wound up on this is because Robert Gavea, he's a criminal defense lawyer in Arizona, he read through the entire deposition and gave his opinions on it throughout the whole process and how a normal lawyer would investigate something like this or the questions that you would normally ask someone in a deposition like this. And it made it very clear. You have a whole different perspective. If I would have just read through the deposition, I probably wouldn't have spotted even half the things that this lawyer did. But it became very evident once he started pointing out things that they were glossing over. I mean, it all seemed theatrical anyway when I read parts of this before. But then when he went through it became so much clearer, so much more obvious. That this whole thing was a setup, that it was all about getting his little story out to kind of clear him and get him moving on his way so nobody would ask him any more questions. Oh, we already interviewed him and we talked about all this. This was all covered in his deposition. Nothing to see here. Move along. That's kind of the way it is. This whole thing was just a setup to get him cleared and on his way. His lawyer only stepped in one time, and that was to coach his client, which was very strange. Actually, it's not normally allowed. Now, Ray Epps was just one person who happens to have been caught on video in several different locations doing exactly what they said he was doing. There are text messages that are very damning, by the way. Now, does he also, he's going to use his personal phone, and he's going to give that up to the J6 committee. The feds could have very easily have issued him another phone, or whoever it was that was dealing with him. And he flat out answers the question when they ask him if the feds or any other law enforcement had any communication with him, and he said no. Now, if he's telling the truth about that, then someone else is involved in this. And it's obvious someone else is involved. We just don't know who, what other entity, who put him up to doing this stuff. Because this was planned. I would believe the guy more if he would have just said, you know, I was caught up in the passion of the election. I was upset with the election. And I'm not a big Trump supporter, but I just was upset with the election itself. And I think there was a lot of misdeeds. And I was caught up in that whole scenario. And I felt compelled to go out and try to lead a protest. I would believe him if he said that. He didn't say that. He's bowing out of the whole thing. Like as if he never had any intention of doing any of this. But he gets dropped in the middle of D.C. and all of a sudden he's out in the street yelling, trying to get people to follow him. Leading people to the Capitol building? This way, everyone. We're going to go into the Capitol. All of a sudden, you've got so much passion. I was just there to protect everyone. I was afraid of Antifa and all the people that, people were getting shot and killed all over the place. Riots were happening and people, things were getting burned down. I just didn't want to be in the middle of that. I was going to try to help people, to protect everybody. He's there to be a hero. Now, I don't know what this guy does for a living. I don't know what his normal job is. I don't think he's a doctor. But he's, somebody was crying or yelling for a medic. So I came up to that's when I went into the Capitol. And then I saw all the Oh, but I wasn't actually in the Capitol. Okay. All right. Well, you're just being an idiot right now. I can't believe anything you're saying at this point. And this gets back to the whole issue. This is similar to the issue of Twitter. So we've discovered what's going on at Twitter. Now, that's kind of been blown wide open, and the media is kind of not wanting to touch it with a 10-foot pole other than some things on Fox News, a couple of their independent media companies, on Newsmax. Here's the problem. We don't know what else was happening with Facebook. We don't know what's happened with YouTube. I can guarantee you the feds are involved there too. I guarantee you the FBI was involved in the censoring. We know that they spoke with Facebook. How many people are working for Facebook today who were former federal law enforcement? Or who are CIA? I guarantee you they have teams of people working on getting hired at these agencies and working from the inside. I guarantee you that. Operation Mockingbird was exactly that, and that was back in the 70s. And it has never stopped, and they will admit to it. That's some good tea right there. Apple cider stuff. So that brings us to where we are today with this whole thing. Now, what is going to happen with the new House that's coming into play? Kevin McCarthy is making some interesting political moves here, as well as Jim Jordan actually is being pressured into being House Speaker. Matt Gaetz is also being pushed by a team of people to be Speaker. The reality of this is Kevin McCarthy is probably going to be the Speaker. I don't want him to be. Okay, I think there's other people. I think Jim Jordan would be an excellent person. Matt Gaetz, not so much. I don't think he has I think that the maturity level there, I think in maybe 5 years, Matt Gaetz could be a good speaker, Speaker of the House. I don't think he's ready for that job yet. Maybe he could. Maybe he would jump in and do a really good job at it. I think that there's some issues with Matt and his personality. Jim Jordan, however, his only issue, in my opinion, is he's a little bit over the top with he's spot on his presentations. He puts together the facts very well. The problem, I think, is that he gets a little bit over the top in his presentation, the way he presents it and the way he continues to drive things. But I have no doubt that the guy's on point. I think it's just an issue of whether or not he's able to communicate and guide and lead things. I think he could. I think he's fully capable, in my opinion. I can't really think of anybody else. Now, I think Gomer would be a good. There's several candidates I think that would be very good that are not Kevin McCarthy. Now, supposedly, McCarthy is going to go along with some of the things that the. They've got some kind of deal where they can retract their votes on him or something, or they can recall him. I guess some kind of deal where if I'll vote for you, but I can retract my vote. We can recall you if you don't follow through with this agenda, the way I understand it. Now, whether or not he really will or not, I don't know. I think it's important to realize, though, that he's understanding that, hey, this... We're not going to be able to play games anymore. We're not going to be able to lead from behind anymore. Just like Nancy Pelosi coming in and saying, well, you know, people who assist House representative workers, House representatives, the workers that they hire to assist them, she's raised the cap on their salaries. Now, there's always something going on behind the scenes when this stuff happens. Well, we're going to raise your pay to $210,000 a year. It's the maximum you can make now, or something like that. It's right around there, 200 something, over 200 grand a year. Okay. Why did she do that? Why did she do that? This is payola for something. This is, you know, this is one of those negotiated deals where, okay, we're going to give you guys a raise, but I'm going to get something in return. You know this is happening. We just don't know what the deal is behind under the table, behind the scenes, the whole thing. There's something going on. Now, this is another one of those examples where the right, they'll vote no. They'll vote, of course, especially when their own pay raises. Personally, I think anybody who votes no for that stuff, for like, let's say Congress wants to vote themselves a pay raise, which they do all the time. They vote themselves a pay raise. Of course, the fiscal conservative ones, oh, no, we don't want to take that raise. We're going to vote no on that. Oh, dang, it went through. We got a raise. Oh, rats. Tell you what you need to do is say that anybody who votes no for it doesn't get the raise. See how many of them vote no for that. Then you'll see the real weasels there. That's what you'll see. This is, of course, Nancy Pelosi's on her way out. Looks like this Joaquin guy is on his way in as the minority leader. Now, I don't know what kind of shenanigans they're going to pull with the new deal here with in January. Since we've lost our democracy now, because the Democrats lost some elections, because we lost our democracy. That's what we were told. So I'm assuming that's what happened. We lost the podium apparently now too. I guess the podium walks away. So we have this stuff going on, and here we are as 2023 unfolds before us. I think we have a very interesting time ahead of us. Jonathan Cahn, he wrote a book earlier about the return of the gods. He's written another one that goes on with it. I've heard his report, kind of his synopsis of the book. I have to say, I agree a lot with where this guy's coming from. He's a Messianic Jew. I think he was a rabbi before coming to Christ, but he lays out the whole thing. Now, a friend of mine I'd heard him speak on Sunday, and it's really good. He goes back into kind of the ancient stuff. It's very scriptural. There's stuff in scripture that is just ignored. It's not talked about anymore. Like he was saying, he went to seminary and they never talked about it. It's right there in scripture. It's there in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. Paul, Rabbi Shaul, which is Paul, the Apostle Paul, he actually mentioned things about some things in Old Testament scripture that we just don't even talk about anymore. And it's kind of the pre-flood stuff, a lot of things that happened after the flood, a lot of the beasts and people that were kind of hybrids of the fallen, the Nephilim, all that kind of stuff that were on the earth at that time, and how that all fits together, how it all, you know, works. It's you start to look at this stuff, and then all of a sudden it becomes very evident that what we're seeing in world leaders, their philosophy, their motivation, the spirit behind them that motivates them, is in line with and obviously the manifestation of the very same spirit that was clear back into ancient biblical times. You know, I've had people, you know, ask, I think people were asking the question of, you know, is this mRNA vaccine, is it the mark of the beast? Well, no, it's not the mark of the beast. But you can certainly see the spirit of Antichrist, of that one world government accept the mark or die kind of thing, where if you don't accept the mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. Well, guess what? That mentality was very evident when it came to, are you vaccinated? Well, if you're vaccinated, then you can participate in society. If you're not, then you can't go to the grocery store. You can't go. We're going to take away your, if you protest this, we're going to take away your funds. We're going to take away your money. We're going to stop you from being able to have any commerce. Oh my, that sounds familiar. So it's not that the vaccine itself enabled, now the vaccine passports that they're pushing now from the UN that Biden has signed on to, like we need more paperwork to travel around the world. What happened to George Soros and his open society? Between him and Klaus Schwab, those two guys must call each other every morning. How are we going to take over the world today? It's creepy stuff, man. So, this is all going on. It's all happening right before our very eyes. And I'm afraid, here's the problem. And this is, it's, I don't blame the media. I don't blame our leaders, our elected representatives. I don't even blame them. I blame the church. The church has stepped back from their duty, in my opinion, to speak the truth, to preach the truth, to educate our youth and our patrons, those who are in the church, who are believers. We have failed to educate them on history, on actual biblical history, and to understand, because there's that whole saying of those who do not, you know, study history or remember history are doomed to repeat it. Now, I think that all of history is cyclical. There has always kind of been a, you know, the Hitler, Antiochus. This, there's always been this nemesis of the world. That has kind of been, every generation has kind of had their Hitler, so to speak, to put it in modern terms. And now, I think it's spiritually now, it's being awakened as a spiritual philosophy almost. It's almost more of a philosophical Hitler that people don't even realize. At some point, it will manifest again into a group of leaders, which I think it already has, and that'll start to rise up and take control more and more. And the more we are dependent upon electronic, digital sphere, that world, that part of commerce, which the most of the major, of course, the whole thing with cryptocurrencies is people are accepting it more and more. The Fed, the Federal Reserve, and the World Bank, they'll recognize this. And so now they, International Monetary Fund, they're now recognizing that, well, I think digital currency is more acceptable now and people are more willing to go to it. So we're going to introduce our own digital currency, which is nothing more than what we already have. It's just going to be a digital system that's not really encrypted. It's just your digital funds. It's not a cryptocurrency, so to speak. It's not the same thing. So we have this, and so now we're, you know, the interesting part of it is they're going to try to go to a cashless society. Now, cashless society, we're practically there. We've practically been there for like since 1967 or whenever it was that we went off the silver standard. The fiat currency we have is not legitimate anyway. They want to destroy it. They're trying to get rid of the whole concept of the U.S. dollar, because it stands in the way of a lot of things. We're rapidly moving towards that day when it will soon be unpinned from oil, and it will soon be unpinned from most of the trade in a world economic trade fund. And of course, the more we print, the more likely that is to happen, because it becomes worth less. start printing out trillions and trillions of dollars. Oh, it's all budget. It's all within the budget. We have a balanced budget. We'll send another $100 billion to Ukraine. There's people on the ground there. There's even a representative here in the state of Indiana that is screaming that there's no evidence of any of this money getting to the people on the ground in Ukraine. No humanitarian aid, nothing that's filtering through. $10 billion of it was supposed to go to aid for humanitarian aid, and they've not seen a dime of it. Where is it? Where is it going? Where's the other $100 billion gone? And they're asking for more. I guarantee you, this year will not go by without another set of billions of dollars. Probably won't get to spring before we have another $1 billion package for the people of Ukraine. Who knows? Well, folks, it is the first day of the first work day of 2023. It is the first show of 2023. I am going to try to tomorrow morning. It looks like I will actually be able to have a show tomorrow morning and possibly the next morning after that. Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, both will have a show. It looks like I will even be able to get a show in on Thursday morning. And I'm going to try to do this live from my hotel room in Atlanta tomorrow morning and Wednesday morning. Thursday morning, I'll be in Dallas, and I'm going to try to do a I have no idea what the internet will be like. Normally, early mornings in a hotel is typically the best time to get some high-speed internet and be able to do something. So I'm going to try to do something live, at least on Podbean, which I think also goes out on Spotify at the same time. If I end up not being able to do that, what will end up happening is I will be able to record it early and hopefully get it out fairly early in the morning. However, the whole process of all of that kind of typically relates to how good the internet is. I doubt that I will have a live video on Rumble. That's a lot to do. What I might be able to do is a live video on Rumble, record the audio for that, and then post those on Podbean and Casto. So they'll go out on the Apple stuff and all that Apple Podcasts and all that will go out as a recording. I don't think I'm going to be able to have anything live, audio and video, other than Rumble. So that's my theory. I'm going to test it tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to do a live broadcast on Rumble with my laptop, see how it works out, see how it goes. I don't have any video at this point. I'm going to try to put together some video clips of some things for tomorrow. But again, running my laptop is a little bit more tricky unless I can use my television as a monitor, which sometimes I can do that. So I might try to do that tomorrow morning, see how it all goes. In the meantime, I will do what I can to put together shows this week and have a show, at least a 30-minute show every day this week, which it looks like it's going to be possible because my schedule has changed somewhat. My early morning has been shifted to a little bit later in the day. And in theory, that should work pretty well. So once again, folks, welcome to 2023. We'll see how things unravel as the year goes by. I'm sure there'll be a lot more things in my cup throughout the year. And I pray that you will have a blessed year, that your eyes will be wide open, that you'll see the truth, that you will not be gaslit, lied to, or if when you are lied to, you can cut right through it and understand and see, not be deceived. So as we press forward here in 2023, we can pray for each other. We can pray for the leaders of our nation, the leaders of the world that are out there, that we can see the hand of God at work. Because, even if things are going bad, as long as you can see God's hand in it, then you understand God's plan. It's kind of helps a lot. God bless, folks. Have a great day. Have a great year.